2016. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and reminding you that you are now breathing manually. I'm Morps, and tonight I have with me Madman, RU486, and Sard. Sard, what are you drinking and what are you smoking?
Drinking a shock top.
Are you? What are you drinking?
I don't know, but I can't stop thinking of keep breathing in, breathing out. Hey, you fucker.
Madman, what are you drinking, and are you also breathing manually?
I'm drinking a Kentucky ale and smoking fire-cured cigars.
Nice. I'm currently drinking Best Damn Cherry Cola, which is a hard cherry cola. It's okay. But when that's done, I'm going to switch over to Sweet Lady, which is... They sell it as a bourbon, but I think it's actually a colored liqueur, just based on the flavor.
Do you buy anything that men would actually drink at all? Ever?
No, apparently not. No, no, yeah, just going for the straight booze all the time is, you know, I'm just trying to branch out. Try something else. Kind of wishing I just went straight back to the Jim Beam, but hey, you know, whatever. What's your definition of something? What's your definition there of what I should be drinking?
I don't know, but what, cherry cola sounds like what a 12-year-old girl would drink. And what's the other one? Pink Lady?
A Sweet Lady. It's supposed to be a whiskey, but I don't think it actually is.
It sounds like what two men who are feeling absolutely fabulous would drink on a Friday night in a night in town.
You know? But you don't have any suggestions of what I should be drinking then?
I have no idea. Anything domestic, you know. Because nothing says classy like domestic straight out of the can.
Oh, so, you know, I should be drinking Bud Light then. Is that what you think?
Oh, why not? Actually, what's it? Bud Clamato or whatever?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, bring back.
Nothing says NASCAR and sex with your first cousin.
No, that's Bud Light. The Clamato says NASCAR and sex with your brother, who happens to be your boyfriend.
And the Clamato ones when you're 8 months pregnant, but you're thinking of the health of the baby.
Yeah, we're not going to be buying either of these again. I can already tell you that. And not just because you're making fun of them, are you? They're not that great. So, but it's what I had. So, let's see. Moving on to the discussion here. So, RU brought this one to my attention. I'd seen it earlier in the week, but I didn't get the chance to dive into it. The Panama Papers are starting to make the rounds. So, probably the best place to start with this is the Wikipedia page. So, they've got a nice summary at the top here. The Panama Papers are a leaked set of 11.5 million confidential documents that provide detailed information about more than 214,000 offshore companies listed by a Panamanian corporate service provider, Mossack Fonseca, including the identities of shareholders, the director, and the directors of the companies. The documents show how wealthy individuals, including public officials, hide their money from public scrutiny. The papers identify current government leaders from Argentina, Iceland, Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, and United Arab Emirates, as well as government officials, close relatives, and various various heads of government from more than 40 other countries, including Brazil, China, France, India, Malaysia, Mexico, Pakistan, Peru, Romania, Russia, South Africa, Spain, Syria, and the United Kingdom. I'm surprised the United States isn't on that list, too.
Not yet, I don't think, because it's been...
Yeah, they were saying, like,
long.
Hillary Clinton's got some stuff in there, apparently.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it's been long enough for everyone to go through all the documents.
Yeah, because
like
it's
there's 11.5 million.
Or so. Yeah, 2.6 terabytes of data that was anonymously dropped off to Schützenzentrum, I guess I'm saying that right. I didn't spit enough on my keyboard, I think, to actually pronounce that. But
it's a German newspaper.
Yeah, which they then turned around and said, we don't have the resources to go through this. So they've enlisted the help of the ICIJ. And unfortunately, the ICIJ is taking a very social justice warrior stance on these papers. They've got an intro video. I watched it. It starts to go over the idea of these tax haven shell companies and how they were helping pretty much anybody launder money and embezzle money. And then they turn around and start blaming basically all of the poverty in the world on people hiding their money through this Mossack Fonseca company.
Look at it from just two points before I'll let everybody else get in on this. One, the only reason you're seeing any of this on the internet or any, you're not seeing it anywhere else in any public broadcast that I've seen, is the only ones seem to be touching are SJW run websites who don't seem to be affiliated with any major corporation or political facilities. And the second one is on these points, it's only 214,000 companies. Of how many billion registered companies are there in this world? Like, this is nothing. We haven't even looked at the Cayman Islands or any other holding companies, let alone the other places. Like, the Panama City is, I think that it's like the golden triangle for shelf companies. That whole place is making money of companies setting up there as shelf companies.
Yeah, like, this is the one tip firm. Of the iceberg of this kind
yeah,
of
this
stuff.
Is just one firm, people. Like, I mean, we've got Gordon Brown's father is implicated in this. Yet no one seems to want to talk about it. That's why I wanted to talk about it on this show. I'm like, you know, we're mostly talking about it earlier, and it's like Morse's point was, you know, people aren't talking about it because people are afraid. They got shit to lose.
Yeah, they got shit to lose.
I have something to add to that then, too. Actually, on different podcasts that I've listened to, they've talked about the Panama Papers also and why they don't seem to be getting as much attention, especially the whistleblower isn't seeming to get as much attention as other leaks and stuff like that. And they're saying because it's a private firm company and it doesn't have any state secrets in it, so no one really cares. They're like, eh, business as usual.
Now, to be fair, I have not done a deep dive of this. I've barely skimmed the surface, and I just started to go through the Wikipedia page. The reason the Wikipedia page, Are You and I Agreed on this one, is nice is because every other source immediately goes into how horrible it is that, you know, like the intro video talks about how some hospital doesn't have equipment and tries to implicate it's because people were hiding their money. But it's like you never show the relationship of why this hospital wasn't funded that has anything to do with this company. I mean, sure, it's horrible, but it's, you know what I mean?
They're
trying to make more of it than they're trying to make linkages and then not support them and just try to talk about how horrible it is.
Exactly. They just want something to blame because...
And the Wikipedia articles seemed much less sensationalistic. So...
I mean, the Wikipedia article is boring as shit, but that's because it's just the facts. I mean, we're not talking, you know, just your average rich little fucking bitch and her father with a Pertz stock. We're talking major banking institutions have hidden assets. Why? Why is HSBC, who needed a handout 2008-2009, have a secret offshore account that no one's allowed to look at? Let alone the governments that are handing them our money to bail them out.
Yeah, Batman, you know more about financial transactions than me, certainly.
Same.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a good reason, really, for a lot of banks to hide in that area because there are different states in the U.S. that have just as favorable secrecy laws as South America. And locking up your capital, what people think is this money is being held there and will never be taxed. It's not going to be taxed while it's not being used, but if they attempt to move it into any country and actually make use of it, it's going to be taxed. It's kind of like avoiding, in the U.S., if you have a savings account, you have to report that to the IRS, and even if you earned money on it a decade ago, you might still get taxed on it. Well, a lot of these funds, they've already been taxed once. They're just being held there so they're not continuously taxed. And if they get pulled into a country to be used again, they'll be taxed again at that time. But so I'm not really too worried about corporations doing it. I'm kind of interested about public officials, because another reason for doing this is to hide the source of money.
And so you might still get taxed on it,
but if, let's say, it's coming for, I don't know, Hillary Clinton, because I like picking on her. There might be a few million dollars in there from George Soros, but when she brings it into the country and it's taxed again, that no one might not know. It might be harder to show that it came from George Soros rather than, I don't know, her making a pizza joint and, I don't know, actually earning cash, whatever. So it's good for hiding the sources of money rather than avoiding taxes long term.
Well, couldn't another way, Madman, is that, okay, that secret shelf company that you have that's got directorship under someone who's just a dummy director gives you a loan of the cash that you never pay back? Is that another way of doing it without getting taxed?
A loan is still considered income. You know, you can write off the interest on that loan if the dummy corporation is giving you an interest rate.
Okay, so you're making up a fake paper trail. Wouldn't that be feasible as well? If you're going through all...
Oh, yeah, it's the big reason for doing it is hiding the source of the money rather than the existence of the money. That's what I was throwing out with the whole George Soros buying people thing.
Yeah, so it is a big thing, right? I'm not just sitting here spinning my wheels. This is something that people need to be, you know, calling for a day of the rope style of executions.
It's a big thing when it comes to public corruption because it's public officials hiding who's buying them off. Now, the whole social justice, this money's not being taxed, and people are dying in a hospital because they can't get drugs or hospital equipment.
I don't care about that.
That's not quite as accurate, because when the money's being moved somewhere to be used, unless you're finding a way to keep it entirely black market, which is hard to do and most corporations don't bother with it. But unless you're keeping it... Oh, go ahead.
I want to point out, this is not just corporations hiding their money. That's the majority of it. But there's also information about criminal organizations using it to launder money. There's information about politicians using it for embezzlement. So don't. It's not purely corporations.
Well, from the corporate aspect of it, when they move the funds into something usable, it's going to be taxed then. So it's a short-term tax haven. Now, as far as individuals, it is a way of hiding where your funds are coming from. So instead of the Chinese mafia saying that I actually got this from selling heroin from the Chinese mafia, it came from whatever shell company and I'm a consultant. So you're still reporting it, getting the money in. It's a way of laundering more than a way of avoiding taxation.
Correct.
So that's why I think the social justice warrior bitch about it's crap. Now, it is still something to bitch about because you want to know who's buying your public officials. Everyone should know your public official has been bought. You just want to vote for the people that have been bought by people that agree with you. Because your public official has been bought.
I can't argue on that point, Madman.
The reason this matters, outside from politics, at least for decking, 2.6 terabytes of data. How did they even move that much data before they got caught?
That's always what it was.
The Target hack all over again. They didn't realize how many terabytes of data, or not Target, excuse me, Sony, the Sony hack. You know, they didn't have any monitoring as far as exfiltration of data.
We don't know how it was an anonymous source dropped it off, so we don't know if somebody hacked these people or if an insider leaked it. I saw a rumor floating around that it was a WordPress hack that let them get into the database, but it's like the fucking really?
I saw a rumor it was a walk-in.
Oh, somebody walked in with a hard drive?
Somebody walked in with a hard drive, walked straight into the server racks.
Well, and that would not be surprising because 2.6 terabytes is about how much you'd actually get out of a three terabyte drive, which is a standard size spinning disk.
Yeah, someone put on a hard hat and went in with a tool belt on.
I'm supposed to be here.
Well, they weren't expecting it, Steve, because this company, who's ever heard of these guys before? They're in fucking Panama. You know, it's not exactly like the heavy policing capital of the world for white collar crime.
Hello, I'm here to fix the copier. Yeah,
pretty much. Hey, Manesto. You know, they're not exactly, from what I understand, well known. Their corporate headquarters isn't that flashy. It just looks like a regular high rise building.
I don't know if they've been doing it for a while. You'd think they'd be on someone's radar. I mean, Nauru was on the radar forever, at least as far as banking circles and anyone that tracks funds go. And that's a no-named island in the middle of nowhere without even a hardline connection.
Not really, man. You look at any great fucking haven for hiding money, best internet connections in the fucking world. They've got the greatest ones ever. But, I reckon they were just going through security through obscurity. They weren't really worried about a walk-in.
I still want to hear the final verdict on how this data made it out, because that's a lot of data to lose.
I mean, that's a lot to move over line before anybody, like, especially if you do have like security in there, like network security, you're going to see that amount of traffic moving.
Not necessarily, though. That's what I'm saying, man. I think that's an up and coming thing that companies need to start looking out for is data exfiltration. Everyone's so worried about looking out towards the outside of, you know, all the bad hackers are out there on the internet. It's becoming more and more popular, more and more necessary to start looking inside and looking at what's already inside your network. Because once you're already in and you're exfiltrating that data, you're already through security, you know?
I've actually pissed off my network guys because I keep asking them to give me these reports on pretty much a weekly basis on what's leaving so I can at least try to catch it. And they're worried. Like, it's useless. Why do you want this?
I have a baseline of what should be leaving our network, so if there's a spike of 2 terabytes,
it to me in PDFs, and it's like, can you not give me a CSV or something I can throw in a database so I can actually track this shit over time?
Yeah. No,
the software just gives us a PDF, so...
Morps, if you know anything that will establish a baseline over that rather than having to do it manually, I would really like to know that, especially if there's any open source software, because that's something I've wanted to implement at my work at the same time.
Because the reports that... It's a Palo Alto system. The reports that come out of it are useless. They're not useless, but they're in formats that make them very difficult to use.
Yeah, and we actually have a Palo Alto, and they're full of it if they're only giving you PDFs.
You can pay me $80,000 and give me a desk, and I'll physically sit there and watch network traffic all day and do pie graphs.
Problem is, that's useless. I mean, it sounds great to have it, but really, you know, you'd be like the night watchman trying to watch 5,000 monitors at once. It doesn't
work. Exactly.
I'm good at multitasking. I won't burn the place down.
Just give RU some more cephedrine and he'll go to town.
Actually, what I'm wanting to do is dump the syslogs out to Elasticsearch and get the traffic logs that way.
The only request I want is every monitor must be in green text. I want to feel like I'm in the Matrix.
In the Matrix? You're going to start saying, like, dude, I just saw this electron. It was a bad electron. We got to lock down the network. I know it's a bad electron.
Shut it down!
Everything. Run the data center, push the big red button.
It's like, what's that big switch do? Oh, it doesn't do anything. We just gave it to him so he could feel better about himself every time he pulls it.
Like, all the cables are just looped back into ports. Like, right back in the same switch.
It makes a noise.
Yeah.
And it's just the GIF on the monitors going around and around. Like,
right there, did you see that? That electron, that son of a bitch. He's in our network. Shut it all down.
What does he actually do? Oh, nothing. It's actually an MIT psych study. We're actually renting him out for a psychological profile. How long before he goes insane?
Okay, to be fair, it started out as an MIT psych study. Now it's a very popular YouTube channel, and we're making tons of advertising.
Now it's just funny.
We're getting 2 million hits a month. This shit is great. We're making bank on Google Ads.
So,
fuck, we might make enough money to where we could hire some dude to hide an offshore account.
Hey, there you go.
But no, it will be very interesting to see how this data actually was removed.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
What I can't get is, like, man, I would just be fucking balls out on the internet being like, I did it, fucking I stole all that shit. How is this dude so quiet?
Because he doesn't want to die.
Yeah, exactly.
he's outing people who run mafias. May not be great for the old life expectancy.
The people at that newspaper actually said that it actually has taken them over a year to get all of this data because he's been giving it out so slowly, and they've been trying to figure out a way of getting it to them anonymously because the dude that did release it is literally afraid for his life.
I don't doubt it. And yeah. Also, it's in fucking Panama, where they're not exactly known for...
But he's dropping it at a German office, isn't he?
Newspaper or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to assume the guy was in Panama at some point and might still be there.
Well, like I said, not necessarily. The Sony hack was done in China.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Unless he comes out publicly and says, hey, this is how I did it, it's all going to be speculation.
If you, like, you know, got in from somewhere and you knew they couldn't touch you, you would ham it up for the reporters. You'd play it up.
I would keep my fucking mouth shut. The mob will pay someone to shoot you in whatever country you're in.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna be saying the prices will be negotiable. Panama might only cost them $50 to have your balls cut off, shoved down your throat while you're still alive, and then shot. And in Germany, it might be $2 million, but they have the fucking money.
Yeah. Well, it's all there on the spreadsheets, man. We can see how much they've got. That's true. It's secret. Good point. Like, it'll be interesting if it ever does come out, man. I'm really fucking curious, like, my hopes.
Well, like I said, I'm pulling a lot of the info that I know. I don't know if any of you guys listen to Off the Hook on the guys from 2600.
I thought they stopped a long time ago.
Oh, no way, man. That's been going since, like, the 80s.
I know, didn't they stop for a while?
No.
Oh, I thought they stopped. That's why I haven't been listening to them in a long-ass time.
Oh, no, they're still going. But they were, like I said, the ones talking about this. The dude is seriously afraid for his life. The spin that they've been taking on it, which I kind of agree, which is interesting to me, especially with current events, is they've been talking about how he's been getting that, got that data out, and it's all due to encryption. So it kind of brings to light the whole FBI wanting to crack into that iPhone 5C or whatever. And,
I've got the story on that later about how they finally did it.
I mean, just it brings up encryption in general because of encryption that this guy can stay anonymous and we can find out these documents and find out this information and how encryption has really been brought to the limelight, you know, lately. And it's definitely an issue that the government doesn't want, but people do, and
that is not whiskey.
So,
I'm pretty sure that's like some cheap ass liqueur that they put caramel coloring in.
I wonder how many of the IT staff are still left at that place now that got taken.
Oh, I'm sure they all have neckties.
That's what I mean. Like, were they all taken out and executed? Because I'm pretty sure it's gonna be some pissed off people.
Well, they might be, because it's like, you know, that's not exactly a low-stakes game.
I mean, from what I understand, you don't make enemies of yourself in the Clinton Foundation. They'll really fuck you up, man. But
yeah.
Lucy, no one here even wants to fucking make fun of the Clinton thing, because, yeah.
Hillary's known for hiring people to go beat up rape victims.
I mean, I don't want Hillary Clinton to be president because I'm worried she might actually be the Zodiac Killer. I mean,
no, that's Ted.
Ted old enough to be the Zodiac Killer?
Does it really matter?
I mean, I think he might be the son of the Zodiac Killer, possibly, but the Zodiac Killer himself? No.
Wait, are you saying Hillary Clinton is secretly Ted Cruz's mother?
Yeah.
Oh, that would really fucking open up a can of worms, wouldn't it? And Trump is his father?
Dun, wait, what?
Dun, dun. Fucking episode of Star Wars right there.
No, Hillary's not attractive enough for Trump to fuck.
Oh,
have you looked at the progression of wives? Every time he adds a zero to his net income, his wife gets hotter.
I've
and he
got
started
balls
out rich
of
enough
steel.
To afford someone better looking than Hillary Clinton.
Oh, man. Black truck coming to your house, man, making fun of Hillary. You're going to get a beating from a rape victim.
Truth bomb alert.
All right, I think we've beaten the shit out of that story enough. Anyway, until we can look into it more.
All right, next story up is from Business Insider, and is not terribly surprising. Let me just paste the link here for those who... Control-V does not work in my terminal for some reason. Here we go. Thanks, Putty. I don't even have the story about Microsoft porting Bash, but that'll be nice when they actually do it. I think, Sarb, did you see that on the Microsoft getting Bash?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't bother with the story because I got a bunch of other good stuff, but that's weird.
The Linux community shudders. And
they're all extremely... having a bitch fight over what to name it. There's already been somebody from the Free Software Foundation saying, no, you have to call it GNU plus K Windows.
Jesus fuck.
That's like, some
that's like one thing the open source community... Like, I love it, but god damn it, you can ease up on the licenses. It's fucking free, okay? Just
there's a fantastic
who cares what we
floats
call
around
it.
That says, okay, this is Linux, and they show the engine from a car.
Yeah,
if GNU plus Linux is an operating system, here's that, and there's the engine and the suspension and nothing else.
This is just making me more and more feel Linux is just for people with severe Asperger's.
Some of them?
Yeah, definitely some of them. No, it's ridiculous, but I don't know. I'm excited because I don't know how many times I fucking typed LS on a Windows CLI.
Do that too.
And I will be fucking happy as shit. And like, I'm actually really interested to see what binaries actually get put in it. Like,
IP
if
config,
I could
no,
run...
No, IWconfig. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, are we going to be able to... You know,
it's
you said
it's
an awk and grep
line.
And
they're translating syscalls.
Right.
So, I mean, they're trying to get it working with Bash and a whole bunch of the Bash utils, but I digress.
I don't know. I'm excited and kind of scared at the same time. I don't know. And a lot of people, at least podcasts and stuff that I've listened to, one of them was actually really kind of hostile, saying, what the fuck, Canonical, Microsoft... like flashes some money at you and you're just like, yep, we'll do it.
Yeah, they are
trying to say that they sold out
so,
and stuff
because it's going to make Wine work, and then I might be less or more likely to not be on Windows.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping is I hope they open source some of the code, and it's like, okay, here's what we're translating these calls to, so the Wine guys can go, oh, okay, let's just flip it.
Yeah,
because that's what they've done. Is basically Wine in reverse. And are you
well,
sitting
did
going,
you hear
what, the
what all,
fuck are you
all
talking
that?
About?
No, I was just thinking, if I had a dollar every time one of you cunts went, I can't wait till I'm off Windows forever, I'd be a rich man.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to do, man. Like, the only reason I have Windows is gaming and games. My job. Windows domain.
Mops is like a meth addict. I watched this cunt get on and off the pipe now for the last fucking 10 years, man. He's either smoking the windows or he's not. And when he's off it, he's a fucking cunt. He's just bitching and whinging or fucking something's wrong with it. God, just pick up the goddamn pipe. Soak it.
Moving on.
Truth burns, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yep. Okay. Business Insiders. A number of high-traffic websites in the U.S. say they are likely to support legal action to ward off the threat of ad blockers, according to a new report. I don't know about you guys, but every time I hit one of these news sites that, it comes up, oh, you're running an ad blocker. Disable that to visit our website. I just close the window. I don't even bother.
By website.
Don't even fucking bother.
Yep.
Research firm Medianomics carried out the survey of 42 websites and multi-site networks, which represent an aggregate 2.2 billion visits per month, ranging from sites with 6 to 10 million visitors to those attracting roughly 450 million monthly visitors, to assess which tactics they are likely to use to address the impact of ad blockers. Of the strategies respondents were most likely to test next, supporting collective legal action came out on top.
That's we can't fucked stop up.
Using ad blockers, so we're just going to start suing.
That's fucking retarded.
Their only moral way of dealing with this. Stick some code on their website. If you're running ad blocker, you can't see the website.
Oh, that's what it. Some of them are starting to do.
And I'm cool with that. They can do that. But they should have no right to sue me because I don't want to look at their fucking ads. They're going to say, well, you can't see our content because you're not letting us show you ads. That's completely fine. But sue me for it? No, that's fucked up.
Yeah. How is that illegal? It's not.
None of the respondents had already tried taking ad blocking companies to court, but 48% of those surveys said they were somewhat likely, and 36% said they were definitely very likely to test such a solution.
And so what grounds would you take the ad block company to court for?
It's going to be some bullshit like loss of revenue.
But they're not causing the loss of revenue. Me not looking at their ads is the loss of revenue. They're not going to the websites.
They can't blame the users, so they're going to blame the tech.
Well, yeah, because how do you go after your users, right? In Germany, AdBlock Plus parent company IO has been taken to court 5 times, most recently by newspaper, strangely enough, Schundzeitung, which I believe is the same one from the Panama Papers. And also by Business Insider owner Alex Springer, RTL Interactive, ProSiebenSat1, and Z-Hasblatt, or Handelsblatt. You know, my family is German. You'd think I'd be better at saying these names. The judge has ruled in IO's favor on each occasion. Yeah, IO has said we're going to treat any potential legal challenges just like we have the actual ones in Germany, where we've run every case so far. Things like blocking ads and protecting privacy are fundamental rights users possess when they navigate the internet. And we'll continue to defend these rights. Yeah. So, I mean, what is that lawsuit? It's like, you're not running software that we like. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
That's... Your software injects malicious code onto computers.
Forbes immediately after they turned on the whole, you have to turn off ad blocker to go to our website, they were putting, fucking drive-bys on people because drive-by downloads because they had some bad ad in their... I mean, people, they run these advertising networks and they don't take any responsibility for it, and then they're surprised when people run ad blockers?
Right. Well, like you're saying, there's multiple reasons to be running an ad blocker. One, you don't want to see the ads. Two, you're protecting yourself.
Well, last week I left the story off because it wasn't all that surprising, but there was another study that came out that ads are accounting for like 70% of the content on mobile phones.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Pure bandwidth usage. Right. And on mobile phones, that's where you're paying, by the bit. Really.
Right.
So... it's like
you're paying for ads. Mainly.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah, on the mobile phone, I think you should be able to sue anyone with ads on their site. Like, you're causing my phone bill to go up.
Giving me content I don't want to see. And they'll just reply, well, don't go to our website then.
Yeah, honestly,
FCC Rule
15.
But
I do think... If you're going to force me to see your ads, you should be responsible for any malicious malware that they stick on my computer.
Absolutely.
Because the bandwidth, yeah, I'm agreeing to it when I go to your site to see whatever you want to show me, even if you're showing me crap.
Yeah, but then they're serving malicious content. They need to be responsible for it.
Yeah, if you're going to force malicious content to be dumped on my PC, you should be paying me for it.
What do you do? Do you run the ad blockers? I'm assuming you do.
Fuck yeah, man. I wouldn't leave home without one.
So, it's like the pie hole, man. I'm seriously thinking about building the one to take with me places.
Dude, that's why when I leave the house, man, headset, the whole lot, like earbuds. Yeah, I don't even want to be walking around hearing people's shit, it's fucking ridiculous, and like I'm starting to have like, it's because I don't leave the house enough, man. It's when I do go to shopping and stuff like that, because now I have to go to the big shopping center because it's the closest one. It's like content overload, man. Like fucking everything's flash and fucking what's with the fucking big screens everywhere in all these fucking supermarkets now playing fucking ads, man. Like, and
get your attention.
No cunt's watching where they're going, so I don't know why they're putting the fucking ads up there, because every cunt's on their phone.
You know, it's... Yeah, it's crazy, but...
I mean,
do you get asked for your phone number and email address to buy a pair of shoes?
What the... Dude, I fucking walked out of stores. Like, I literally give up. Like, the amount of fucking times I get mugged at the fucking supermarket counter, like, can I have your loyalty card, please, sir? Fuck off, don't have one. Would you like one? No, why not? Because I don't want one. But it'll give you a discount. I said, I don't care, I don't want one.
That's you know, when you look at them, fine, use yours.
You know, it's
I've said that to them before, and they will. I've had people at Kroger pull out their Kroger card and use it, because I said, I don't want one.
I don't go to the places that you have to have one to shop. There is a couple of places around here that's like, you cannot shop here now until you pay us $80 up front and get your shopping card. And I'm like, I ain't fucking Bye. Shopping with you then. Fuck you. And the discounts, man, as far as I'm concerned, my information's worth more than $1.50. You know what I mean?
Well, half the time, the stores totally that do that, the discounts are just the sale price of that everybody else is already doing.
Right, the real price.
And it's not a discount. I remember when those started getting implemented here, Kroger's raised their prices and then knocked them back down to what they originally were if you had their discount card.
Yep.
So it's not that you're getting more, at least not that I saw. That may have changed since, but it was you're just paying what you would have paid otherwise, and now we get to sell your shit to people.
That's what I mean. It's the real price.
I mean, the shit I was watching on South Park two episodes ago is finally caught up here in Australia. Like, they made fun of getting mugged at the shopping. They're like, would you like to give a dollar to the homeless and shit like that when you're buying stuff? Like, fucking hell. I didn't think that was real. I thought it was just on South Park, but it's actually
real. Oh, no, that's real.
Oh, Jerry's Kids? You've never been hit up for Jerry's Kids?
Oh, we don't have Jerry's Kids. It's like fucking the schools or something like that. I'm like, but I already pay taxes out of my fucking taxes, go to the schools, and I'm still going in? What the fuck, lady? And they get really upset when you fucking swear at them, too. But they can go fuck themselves.
My favorite are the ones who are like, oh, you don't want to support children? No, apparently not.
No. Have I pregnant a chick yet? Hasn't happened yet. No, I don't want to support children.
I mean, that would be my biggest complaint in this month anyway, is like the new supermarket I have to go to is every store in there is like, would you like a loyalty card? Do you have a loyalty card? Why don't you have a loyalty card? What do you have against them? Would you like to see a manager to get one? And would you like to donate a dollar to save the fucking schools? And... like, fuck off. Just...
Dude, everything around here is donate to this cause, donate to that cause. And you know, and you turn on the regular radio and half the ads are basically, give me your money!
And then you walk out in the mall and there's some cunt from fucking Save the Wildlife Foundation going, would you like to give $5 to save a panda? Fuck no! But I'll give you $5 to eat one. Doesn't that shut him up? you know, and then there's the scams like, oh, we'll give you a free iPad and a free iPhone if you sign up to 6 months worth of college right here on the spot. No, it's a fucking scam. No,
I just thought of a great way for the World Wildlife Fund to make shit tons of cash.
Feeding the wildlife to me.
Yes.
The amount of money you could raise from allowing one person to shoot one animal and barbecue it, you could probably support several.
They already do that.
Oh, you mean called ranching?
Yeah.
They already do that with crocodiles and stuff like that, man. Even in South Africa, they have those farms where you can go out and shoot a lion and shit. But lions aren't even endangered anymore. I think the United States has more lions than any country in the world now. Also,
tigers are in the wild are a bit in trouble, though.
Yeah, tigers in the wild, but who cares, man? You never see them in the fucking wild. And if you do, you want to run. You're not going to let... Who sits
yeah,
there
you
and sees
run,
a,
all right.
a tiger in the fucking wild and go, oh, what a fucking
here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Yeah, exactly. No, you see a fucking Bengal tiger
treats.
In the wild.
They're called children.
I want to pay to shoot one of them in the wild.
Oh, man, if you hunt it with a fucking bow. Like, let's give it a sporting go here. Like, there's no way you should be given an AR-15. Okay, you go hunt whatever you want. No, you fucking bow hunt that cunt. You finish it with a knife. Oh, you gotta have give the animal a fighting
chance.
Can
I go with a compound bow?
You can have a compound bow, but fucking you have to go in a high vis fucking uniform vest. None of this camouflage or sitting in a blind or, you know, scent marking and shit like that. You get out there and fucking hunt that cunt like primitive man.
I'll go with the bright orange vest. I'm cool with that. Yeah. There'll be some lines on it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a big advocate for giving the whatever you're hunting PCP at the time, too. That way it's putting more fighting chance. You know, and maybe a Kevlar vest.
We're going to film this and we're going to start the YouTube channel.
All right, if you're
Damn
giving
Nature,
the
you
Tiger
scary.
Kevlar vest, yeah. I am going in with an AK. Just letting you know. But I'm going to shoot a tiger.
The hunting channel, but with the animal's got a fighting chance, you know what I mean? Like, this is Tom. He's hunting a Bengal tiger today. What we've put out is 37 landmines in areas that Tom doesn't know about. The tiger today will be dressed head to toe in full Kevlar with a battle helmet. Also wired up on PCP.
We're also going to be painting designed by Twitter user Sneaks. I mean,
yeah. We're also going to be painting Tom in fucking tiger feminine urine. You know, so he's sexually attracted to the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do know great. How hunters hunt, right? They do already paint themselves in the piss of the female of the species. Yeah. They want the animal to show up.
What Tom doesn't know, his AR today is covered totally in blanks. You know, that was no idea.
He's only got one real round in the clip.
Exactly.
It's up to him to figure out which one.
And his Bowie knife is made out of plastic. You know, call in to Centibet now. Place your bets. Who will win? Dial in.
Here's last year's winner. He's currently missing an arm, but he was the smart one who figured out to get a sharp stick and throw away everything we gave him away. let's see.
I would pay to watch that YouTube channel. You know, if I had $1 million or something like that, I reckon I could get a homeless man. I reckon I could rent a tiger for a while. Get a customized vest.
We're going to... All right, Cave Johnson.
Dude, it's just one step up from bum fights. You know what I mean? Those two dudes that go around paying homeless people
to fight. I know what it is.
You know they already make Kevlar vests for animals. We usually sell them to dog or put them on dogs for boar hunting.
All right, but no, and I'm going all out. Customize it for the animal. You know, a real sleek line, fucking state-of-the-art combat
vest. I think Japan already has this. Has a TV show like that where they like centipede versus a hornet or something like that.
Yeah, but I want to see like people hunting animals. You know, naked and afraid with a twist. You know what I mean?
Naked and afraid with the tiger on PCP. There you go.
Yeah. And they're on a small island with only one drinking source of water. That way, you know, confrontation is inevitable after a while.
All right. You know,
I've taken enough of the show up, man.
Okay, it's fine. We're having fun. Next story is from CNN.com. Litigation between the government and Apple over the San Bernardino phone has ended because the government has purchased from a private party a way to get into that phone, an Apple 5C, running iOS 9, Comey said. Law enforcement officials revealed late in March that they had finally cracked the iPhone used by Saeed Farooq, one of the two shooters at the December 2015 attack that left 14 people dead. They did not go into details other than to say that an unnamed third party had provided assistance. In an effort to access information stored on his phone, the government had pursued legal action in order to force Apple to help bypass the phone's security features. Apple declined to assist, saying that to do so would compromise the security of all iPhone users. God, I love how much they're just glossing over that entire argument. The company argued that law enforcement officials didn't understand the consequences of creating a backdoor into the phone. After the case was dropped, speculation swirled as reporters and analysts tried to identify the third party that helped the government unlock the phone. Comey revealed additional information about the source of the tool Wednesday. The people we bought this from, I know a fair amount about them, and I have a high degree of confidence that they are very good at protecting it, and their motives align with ours, he said. The FBI director also said that the purchase tool worked on only a narrow slice of phones that did not include the newest Apple phone models or the 5S. Comey said the government was currently considering whether to tell Apple how it pulled off the hack. We tell Apple, and then they're going to fix it, and then we're right back where we started from, he said. God.
Fucking dicks.
It really is a dick move, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, of course, if we tell them, they're just going to fix it. We may end up there, but we haven't decided yet.
Jeez.
They went on IRC and bought a hack.
God.
They went on IRC and bought a hack. I mean, that's what they did.
I think they dropped the lawsuit because they saw they were going to lose it.
Yeah, they didn't want their precedent set that they could not force a company to create new software for them.
Yeah.
So, I just... Anybody have anything on this?
We beat the
thing to death a couple of shows ago, but
yeah, I mean, it just brings up like I was talking earlier how encryption is in the mainstream media now, and that.
Well, you didn't hear Madman wail in pain when I told him the FBI had dropped the case.
Oh,
it was fucking terrible. I want them to lose the case. I don't want them to drop it.
Yeah, because then it sets a precedence.
Oh, it's not only that. The only reason this case happened is someone in the FBI made the request public.
Right.
That person has been fired, drug out of the street, beaten within an inch of his life, and his pension has been threatened. He's not going to file charges against the people who have beaten him, because then he'll lose his pension and possibly his life. The next person that files this, they're not going to make it public. They're just going to go to whichever company behind the scenes and be like, hi, we need you to do this for us. National security, brown people may blow up. I'm not going to tell anyone I'm asking you to do this. You're not going to tell anyone I asked you to do this. You're going to save face. I'm going to get what I need. And here in a decade or so, after the brown people have stopped blowing up or are all dead, we'll make you national heroes. And, I don't know, we'll have some chick suck your dick. And then the CEO is just going to be like, oh, I'm going to get a favor I can call in later and a prostitute? Fuck yes! Here's everything you want. Don't tell anyone I helped you. And then corporations and the government will both be happy and I'll be fucked over.
I got nothing. You're exactly right.
Yeah, Daddy's making some fantastic news story suggestions in the chat there.
Yeah,
they involves the word Pakistani and gay porn. So, anyways. But yeah, no, I agree. I wish we would have gotten the verdict out of them that no, we cannot force companies to break their own products for us, but the government wouldn't stand and let that verdict get anywhere near. So,
no.
And Apple didn't contest it. They said okay and dropped it immediately.
Oh no,
right.
Apple didn't want the lawsuit to begin with. The only reason they did it was public image.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they dropped it immediately as opposed to coming in and saying, no, we want the precedent.
Well,
you know,
one thing they
could have.
They have trouble pushing it if the plaintiff drops the case.
So, next story up is from the IndianExpress.com. The story's all over the place, but this one was short. WhatsApp is now end-to-end encrypted at all times. This will ensure that a user's messages, videos, photos sent over WhatsApp can't be read by anyone else. Not WhatsApp, not cyber criminals, not law enforcement agencies, even calls and group chats will be encrypted. WhatsApp co-founder Jan Korm announced an update on his Facebook page. Not on his own platform? Really? Stating that the company had been working on the feature for the last 2 years. Korm wrote, we have been working for the past 2 years to give people better security over their conversations on WhatsApp. People deserve security. It makes it possible for us to connect with our loved ones, gives us confidence to speak our minds, it allows us to communicate sensitive information with colleagues, friends, and others. We're glad to do our part in keeping people's information out of the hands of hackers and cyber criminals. Basically, they've somehow, I don't know if they've licensed it or if it's open source, because I haven't dug into it enough. WhatsApp has implemented the Signal protocol. Now, Signal, on the other hand, gets a lot of flack for not being as secure as they claim it is. So there's that.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that, but I know everyone was like, oh, you know, so happy that they're going to do end-to-end encryption, which I thought there's already alternatives out there.
There's several. And yeah. There's lots of people jumping on the bandwagon right now. It's like, oh, here's our chat app that does encryption. And, right. You know, it's, you know, what are you doing? Well, we're XORing it against a string? Well, I mean, great, that's what it is.
Why? Right? But, what makes this... What is the app called? WhatsApp or something? Or?
Yeah, WhatsApp. It's a
WhatsApp. What
apparently
makes
a popular messaging app that I've never actually used.
Oh, okay. I guess that's it, too. I've never heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I've never used it. Hmm. It's supposed to replace an instant messenger and text messaging and even calls.
Oh, it's like a Skype, but fully encrypted.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Skype, yeah. So, but it's meant for mobile.
Gotcha.
So, but I kind of wish they used something other than Signal, because I think Signal's known for having some concerns.
Hmm.
What's the other one? Telegraph? Isn't that the other big encrypted one? I think they were. I don't know. I may have to play with WhatsApp sometime just because I've never used it before, and it might be interesting. And at least they're doing some encryption that's better than nothing, right? Even if it's weak.
Right. Right. What's the app that you actually have to be? You have to like pair it with another phone with a QR code, like physically pair it. That way.
Low secure.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know. That app I've heard of sounds kind of cool. Like you have to physically pair it with another phone, do key exchange.
That's
and...
probably something else. That sounds like PGP.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, why aren't any of these chat apps implementing any kind of a PGP system where you do some kind of a key exchange? I mean, even if the keys are all some kind of a centralized server for that app. Because then at least it's real encryption, right?
Right. I don't know. I imagine they do it some different way.
That'd be... How would you make any money off that kind of an app, though? I guess charge on the front end for the app. I mean, you couldn't do it for free because you'd have to run a... You'd have to, you know, either run an Amazon account or a data center or something to...
Right, but that doesn't, you know, run that the infrastructure. Defeat the whole purpose because you're storing keys on your
server.
No,
you store the public keys. The private keys go to the accounts alone.
Oh,
so it's only on that mobile device, and you just, you know, pray they don't break their phone before they back it up somewhere.
Right.
Which is probably the real reason nobody does real encryption, is if you actually did real encryption, you know, you'd have to deal with people breaking their phone, losing their keys all the time.
Yeah, wanting to move it from phone to phone. You need a private, store the private key somewhere, back it up, or do something with
it. Let them store it in their iCloud or... Google
yeah,
account.
So then it's just right up in Apple's servers that they can yank it off, and there you go.
Yeah. Okay, well, I haven't figured that out, at least not in the last 15 minutes, and have not drank enough to figure it out yet, so maybe later, you know, when you see the Galaxy 15 chat application with GPG show up, it's like, oh god, Morps got drunk, didn't he? How did he solve it? No, no, that's not key infrastructure, no! Let's see. It's a drunken key infrastructure. That's what we need to come up with.
Nice.
Keys you can only come up with when you're drunk.
You have to be the exact same amount of drunk.
You
have to have 4 shots of whiskey, 2 shots of vodka, and then not throw up. To
you could have a breath analysis encryption.
Like, what's he doing? Oh, God, you have to mix light and dark. No, no!
You can have like this little app where you blow into your phone and it takes your alcohol level.
Oh,
each
text
is different key, you know?
It's like your phone is a fingerprint reader, right? Well, we don't want your fingerprint.
It only works with dudes, though. We're still working females out.
What? No, no, no. Okay, for dudes, you use the fingerprint reader. For females, you use the camera. And. It's like a facial recognition, but.
Hey, Tom, why does your phone smell so funny? I was texting a lot last week, encrypted.
Oh, God, I was using Twitter, not the encrypted chat app. No, delete picture. Oh, fuck. All right, next story up is from the Tech Insider. Let me get this link and copy that out so everybody can follow along at home. From Tech Insider, according to the UN, over 3 million Syrian refugees are now in neighboring Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, and Iraq, with millions more displaced within Syria. To help with the crisis, artificial intelligence startup X2 AI is in the middle of a two-week stay in Beirut, Lebanon, where it is piloting the use of artificial intelligence as psychotherapy treatment for refugees. They've set up a Twitter bot to be a therapist. They've replaced therapists with a very small shell script.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't let it onto the internet. These people will be horribly warped.
Yeah, they've already done it with Microsoft's Twitter bot. That's got to be next.
Partnering with Singularity University and the Field Innovation Team, X2 AI is pitching the psychotherapy bot named Carmen to Carmen. Who comes up with these names?
Gosh, to aid female, workers and refugee raped.
Committees. Carmen helps therapists remotely monitor and care for patients who can administer therapy itself. That heck. Make my phone go off in the middle of a show. Carmen is a version of Tess, an artificial intelligence bot that Bon and Rose have developed with a healthcare chain in the Netherlands, currently in a 2-month pilot. Test is being deployed to over to 100 patients, potentially scaling up after 8 weeks. The bot helps fill in gaps when therapists aren't available. When Test is there, she's there 24/7, says Rouse, who's originally from the Netherlands. When they're really feeling bad, right at that moment, they could discuss it with Test and record how they're feeling.
What? In public, so everyone can read
it. It's not Twitter. I was joking about being a Twitter bot, but it's functionally a Twitter bot on something else. It's like a different chat app or an email or something.
Okay.
It's not actually on Twitter.
I thought it was Twitter. Better, I was like, what the fuck? Who thought this was a good idea?
I did. I now want to make this app.
You want to be a Twitter therapist, Madman?
No, I want to make a Twitter bot therapist. Leave it on the internet and then have people go to it to discuss their problems.
1 month later, you go check all the... Why is it telling everyone to kill themselves? I don't understand. Bond and Rawls say that with Tess, a therapist could serve 100 clients in a day instead of 10. If a patient were to mention suicide, self-harm, or say that they want to speak with a person, there's an automatic handover from the AI to the patient's therapist or another therapist in the same clinic or hospital.
Wow.
Twitter bot therapy, people. God. Even worse, think how dehumanizing. Okay, so in all seriousness, right? Everyone's had to deal with... You call the phone system for a company, and, you know, it's this really stupid computer program, but they've gotten rid of where you can just press the buttons on the menu. You have to actually say what you want. Right. I'm not the only one who's had to deal with that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I imagine this therapist bought something like that.
Yeah.
Did you
Please
need...
press 1 if you want to kill yourself. Please press 2 if you need more antidepressants.
We heard you screaming loudly into the phone. Would you like more antidepressants? I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Did you say you wanted to kill yourself?
Yeah. Is this a precursor to the Futurama suicide booths?
Certainly hope.
No, I'm hoping it's psychopaths, dude. I'm hoping this is pushing for psychopaths.
Are you? You know more about this field of study than... any of us. What do you think, dude?
You think you can diagnose a potato?
I mean, absolutely nothing go wrong. You know, I cannot find a flaw here, and I've been tugging at all the threads, and it just won't come apart. You know, I mean, this is... Of all the people to experiment on, you know what I mean? Traumatized children from a war zone. Fuck talking to a real person. Here's an iPad.
Maybe they figured they're already fucked up. It's a lost cause.
iPad.
Here, talk to this computer.
The cheap Huawei $50 Android tablets.
Yeah. We don't need you to integrate. Just talk to a fucking iPad. Like, go. I mean, the only thing I can think that's really doing with this is they're harvesting data for entry into countries.
Well, you and I were talking about this. You and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, does the bot have to respect patient client or client privilege?
There wouldn't be any, because you can imagine it's all being backed up. Because we've got to keep it for future. What's that fucking stupid line they use? Products. You know, everyone's done the. You know, we're recording this conversation for
For quality purposes.
Quality control, that's it, man. So everything you say is going to be used either for or against you when it comes to...
We're recording this call for quality control purposes. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Oh, I see you applied for asylum, but you've just managed to tell the bot here that you're actually not a refugee and you're fleeing that war zone because you owe the local warlord, you know, $100,000 for a botched drug run or some shit like that. Yeah. Oh, we see you confess.
Or worse, our algorithm has determined that you're not actually fleeing the war zone, that you're, actually a terrorist. And the guy's like, exactly. What? No, my kids!
That's what I mean. There's absolutely nothing to go wrong with this. I think it should be rolled out and implemented worldwide. I think, the Psychology Institution of the World should just disband and let Google take over.
In defense of the Twitter bot?
fucking, why should some dude be risking his life getting up to talk to a jumper when he could just, walk over and go, hey, buddy, feeling bad? Talk to the iPad. let the iPad talk him down.
What operating system is it running? Windows Vista. You're going to die.
Pretty much.
In defense of the iPad, have you looked at the science behind any type of talk therapy or just any of the social sciences at all?
Oh, yeah.
I know for a fact that he has, Madman.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. There's absolutely nothing go wrong. You definitely don't need another human when you're going through massive emotional issues. Because nothing says comfort like isolation. And especially when you've never actually used a computer before or anything like that. You're going to feel really comfortable with it. It's
just saying the self-sciences are already crap. We moved... homosexuality from a mental illness to not, with no change in data. I'm not saying that it should be a mental illness. I'm just saying we make changes to the DSM when it comes to psychopathy and any type of mental illness without any actual change in the data that we have.
Look, man, I'm the first one to concede that anything to do with head fucking is pure quackery. I got nearly all the way through the degree before I figured out that half this shit is crap. Most of it's built on baseless bullshit. And the best thing you can do is if you are doing any sort of therapy or working with people with disability or something like that, is just show empathy and kindness, man. That's the hard and fast fucking rule. You don't need to know the pillars that have built this up. But if you're doing drug therapy or cognitive drug therapy and things like that, yeah, there's a lot more to it, but the big red book of disorders is a bag of shit and should be thrown out, because as you say, man, they move the goalposts depending on social whims.
Well, that's what drugs they want to sell.
You think that we can program the iPad to show empathy?
Oh, without doubt, because nothing says kindness like a flat screen and coldness. I'm being sarcastic. Of course not. This is fucking stupid. Whatever think tank came up with it, they're a fucking idiot. Whoever got the funding for it should kill himself. Actually, talk to the iPad if you want to kill yourself. Maybe it can talk you down. No, it's retarded. If they're doing this to children instead of actually using real cognitive therapists and stuff like that, this is actually, I would call it abuse. Blatant abuse and experimentation on individuals.
Yeah, they're experimenting on the refugees because they're a captive audience.
And look, I'm a cold, heartless cunt, so I say go for it. It's going to be great. We're going to get some real good hard data out of it. And if anything, it's just going to help AI in the future, but it's not going to help these people right now.
Well, that's top quiz, where did we get most of our surgical knowledge?
Mangala. Mangala, the terrible.
Fantastic, man. We did great work with twins.
God.
Well, you need to have a control whenever exactly. You're slicing people open.
Next story. Rocket snail. And I know I brought it up. I don't care. Rocket snail. Next story is from the end of that, and the fact that we're going to be like 30 minutes over on our time. I don't care. Next story is from the Independent of Coda UK. And, you know, completely different topic. Oculus Rift appears to be collecting information on people who wear it and send all of it back to other companies.
No
according
shit.
To its terms and condition.
Is anyone surprised? It was bought by Facebook.
Oculus, the virtual reality firm, which was bought by Facebook in 2014, is sending the first versions of its consumer headset out to users. But some are already pointing out the terrifying parts of the terms of service that people sign up for to use it. The headset software is installed on a computer, and it adds a process that allows the PC to watch the headset is doing and send that data back to Oculus. That allows the headset to know when it is being used and to turn itself on, but also allows the company to collect information on people's head movements and activities and send it back to advertisers. The terms and conditions include a line that says the headset will collect information about your physical movements and dimensions when you use a virtual reality headset, along with a range of more usual information like data about user's computer and location. The company lays out some of the ways it will use the information within the terms, but most of them are mundane. But one line makes it clear that Oculus and Facebook will be able to use the information it collects to market to people. We use the information we collect to send you promotional messages and content and otherwise market you on and off our services. Oh, market to you. I'm sorry. It says market to you. That's different. We also use this information to measure how users respond to our marketing efforts. This person has a propensity to look to the left. Therefore, we're going to put the most prominent ads on the left. Wow.
Is anyone fucking surprised? I'm not. That's why when I heard that Facebook fucking bought them, I was like, nope, I'm out.
The level of just wow.
Yeah. This is the future, Morps, and you're living it 1 minute at a time.
You're not wrong. Speaking of the future,
when that VR porn really takes off, Facebook's really going to have some ads to target towards you and be like,
would you like your significant other to see what you've been looking at? Pay us $100 now to have that deleted.
There you go.
The Amazon 40-gallon bucket of lube's really going to be popping up on everyone's screen.
Yeah, exactly.
We see what you've been playing. We recommend the 40-gallon bucket of lube and a slip and slide.
Or the airline fucking companies marketing trips to Thailand and shit like that towards you.
Oh, God. We see you've been skewing them young. Would you...
Or, well, like you said, on the business trip or whatever, you take your Oculus Rift with you and you start doing have some alone time back at the hotel. And
you know,
you're
those
like,
things
we're
have
gonna
cameras
forward,
in them, too.
They could forward it to your employer and be like, this is what you're doing on your employees are doing on their business trips.
I fucking hope your business laptop, if you don't own it, is fucking spying on you. And if you are jerking it to some shit, you are getting caught.
Just a recommendation, if you have a business laptop, only use it for business thing and use personal equipment for personal things.
Exactly.
And I'm going to leave the definition of business and personal up to the individual user. However, I will say my work laptop doesn't leave my desk at work.
I keep stressing my wife that she can't use her work laptop to surf the net.
Right.
She probably thinks you're crazy.
Yes and no, it's been a long time since she's been caught doing anything with on their laptop. I installed a heap of shit on it, like spy, like get. I took off the keystroke loggers and everything like that. When it went in for maintenance, IT got a little pissy, and they went to HR, and HR got all shitty that she'd played around with the operating system. And they're throwing words at her, and she came home and yelled at me, saying that they were saying stuff to her that she had no idea what it was. I just cleaned it up for you.
I just let RU clean it up. I don't understand.
Well, she's bitching that it took like fucking 8 minutes to boot up. And I'm like, that's not right. You know?
It's jumped in there. Got to load all the spyware.
Dude, it had so much spyware on there. It was right down the point where the microphone and camera were activating when it was turned on and recording everything.
Wow. Well, remember there was that school that got caught doing that to underage kids, too.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a story. It's the shit's actually happening.
It's not, yeah. But no, they had like keystroke loggers, fuck, you name it, man. Everything was on there. And it was all timed to mail back once a day.
Oh, I believe it. And nobody was actually looking at it unless something happens, because that's usually how that's ran. But anyways. Speaking of people monitoring your computer, next up is from NPR.org. When Seattle police showed up at David Robinson's home shortly after 6 a.m. last Wednesday, he figured he had little choice but to let them in and hand over all of his computer passwords. Like, the cops showed up, and he's just like, okay, they were there because I run a Tor exit relay, he says. Tor is a system that allows people to surf the internet anonymously. It's sometimes referred to as the dark web, which is completely incorrect. The dark web, Tor is part of the dark web, but it is not the dark web. Dark web just means it's not indexed by regular search engines. It relies on internet connections provided by volunteers like Robinson. Traffic passes through my computers, and I don't know what it is. Now, stop and think about that phrase for a minute. You are responsible for what is on your computers from a legal standpoint. If stuff's going through it and you don't know what it is...
How to defend yourself when you don't know what you're defending yourself from. That's why you always say, yes, officer, I really do want to talk to my lawyer.
Yeah. While Tor is useful for dissidents to evade government surveillance and censorship, it can also be used for less noble purposes. It's much like the post office or the telephone company. Anybody can use it, and bad guys use it too. In this case, police said a child pornography image had been traced to Robinson's home internet address, and that was enough for them to get a warrant. But Robinson also is a prominent privacy activist in Seattle and doesn't think it justifies the early morning search. What was upsetting about it is that they should have known, he says. How would they have known he was running a Tor traffic node?
He's really bad at it.
Yeah, like, what the hell? I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, seriously. It's like, how would you know? Until you showed up and looked and saw that, oh, Tor's running.
Right.
I mean, Tor traffic is encrypted.
I'll go tell you
and
what happened.
You should, if he's this privacy activist, he should know and expect that to happen to him. It happens to him all the time. There was some, it was a library in some state Midwest, I want to say, that had the same thing happen. And they were like, you know, trying to get him to shut it down. And the public and library and all that stood up and said, no, we can fucking run what we want. We're going to run a Tor exit node.
Go ahead, are you?
I'm betting he just had a game of Counter-Strike against some kid who fucking went, you know what, you beat me, I'm going to dub you in for something.
Yeah, could be.
Because they're not going to fucking know, man. And they're not watching one single fucking image go from, you know, one encrypted network to another. You know what I mean?
I agree. So what was upset about it was that they should have known, he says. Tor traffic is encrypted. Volunteers cannot see its contents. And it doesn't leave a trace after it passes through an exit. Bullshit! It does too. It's obvious what it is. It's got headers on it. Up until a point, I mean, yeah, when it finally hits the clear net, no, it looks like it's coming from his home address. Which means it's not surprising at all that the police showed up looking for it.
That's what I'm saying, man. This guy should have known, unless he's running shit on his home computer that has no idea.
The article gets better. He says the police seem to imply that he shared responsibility for what came through his connection. At one point, a detective offered to show him the image, but a Robinson refused.
Isn't that illegal?
Don't want to see the child.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal?
Is that entrapment?
Isn't that distributing of child porn if he's showing him?
It might be. I don't know.
Just as guilty as... That's fucked up, man.
Yeah. You'd think.
If you went, oh, here's the file name. Not, oh, look at the little girl getting fucking anally raped. You know, this is what went through your computer.
Or you see why I was hemming and hawing about doing this story, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's bullshit.
I said, there's no reason for you to be coming here and accusing me of having child pornography, Robinson says. Seattle Police spokesperson Sean Whitcomb said the department understands how tour relays work, and they knew Robinson was a tour host. Knowing that, moving in, it doesn't automatically preclude the idea of people that running that people running tour are not also involved in child porn, Whitcomb says. It does offer a plausible alibi, and it's something we need to check, which makes perfect sense. If you're doing all kinds of horrible shit on your computer, on your regular connection, running a tour exit relay is a fantastic excuse. It's like, I don't know what it's doing. It's all coming from tour. I mean,
right.
So, you know, I'm saying the police are not exactly wrong to check it out here.
Yeah, but you're assuming guilt. Like,
no, I'm assuming this is where the evidence is coming from. You have to investigate it and then decide guilt.
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit that he, at least from the story, from what you've read so far, it sounds like he's so surprised. Like, why did they come in my house? It's like, well, if you're running that software,
hippie, right?
Like I said, you should fucking understand what you're running and know it and expect it. I would never run a fucking Tor exit node unless I had connections.
Not from my house.
Not from my house. It would be a separate internet connection from somewhere else that is not linked to me.
From Fox's house.
He'll never
That's a good idea, are you? Whitcomb says the Seattle police, you know, Seattle, right? So the dude's a tech hippie. Whitcomb says the Seattle police were artful in the way they did the search. Instead of impounding all of Robinson's computers, which the warrant would have allowed, they offered to search them on the premises as long as he consented to turning over his passwords.
Here, talk to us without your lawyer, without anything. Here, sign this form.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, have a look at this child pornography picture while you're at it, you know? Pass the time while we look at your computer.
Yeah, he did. Filthy motherfucker.
He did. Clever girl. It's wrong, I'm sorry. Wow. He did, and they let him keep his machines after they scanned him. Tor itself is completely legal, and the Seattle police say they have no objection to people hosting relays. But more broadly speaking, Tor can be frustrating for law enforcement agencies, especially those pursuing child porn, internet fraud, and black markets. Tor certainly has the ability, if somebody who truly understands what it's capable of thwarting the police investigation, said Jess Feinbach, a forensic technologist with extensive expertise working on criminal cases involving technology and encryption. But at the same time, because so many people are using tools like that and don't really understand them, in some ways, I think the argument can be made that they're aiding the police, Feinbach says. He's referring to recent cases in which criminals' excessive trust in Tor and similar technologies led them to fall into law enforcement stings. An added wrinkle in Robinson's case is the fact that he hosted the Tor exit relay from his home. Stanford law professor Jeremy Fisher worked on an important case involving police access to cell phones. He says that Tor volunteers may find themselves in a tough spot because there's still a lot of gray area when it comes to shielding technology from the police. Robinson admits that it might be safer, legally, to host the Tor node relay on rented space from a commercial internet service to avoid mingling his personal traffic with Tor, but he says he shouldn't have to. Given his early morning wake-up call last week and the fact that he now has to get rid of his computers because he can't be sure what the police did to them while he was being questioned outside of his apartment, Robinson says he may have to reassess whether it's practical for him to stand on the principal.
Well, yeah. And
it's called format all of your computers. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Format nothing, dude. I'd get new ones and throw the ones you have in a fire.
Yeah.
You don't know what they did, and they could have been reflashing the BIOS for all you know. Well,
I also... One part of that story that you mentioned, he said that they went in and scanned his computer. What does that mean? I wonder what are they... Are they doing star.jpg, like, searching?
I
wonder what software that they have to use that would... That says, oh, yep, this guy's a kitty toucher.
You know, honestly, it's probably Case. They probably imaged his hard drives and scanned them with Case. Yeah. Or FTK. I don't think there's been any new ones since those two, at least not commercially.
And everybody's
pretty much using the open source tools or DD at this point, but I mean, I think Forensic and Case are pretty much it.
Or either the dude is like, I'm thinking he's like massively autistic and didn't really think about the outcome of what he's doing.
Obviously not. The guy's a fucking retard.
Well, I mean, they've got a picture of him in front of what looks like a rack mount server and like a Cisco switch. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you could run Torx at Relay in order to run a Raspi. What are you doing?
So there's a picture of him in that.
So, but yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, tech hippie. Major tech hippie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this guy's still living in the 60s, man.
Major tech hippie.
Yep. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just fucking stupid.
Well, I've got a couple of them I've got to deal with at work who are like, oh, no, our code has to be pretty. We should do everything in Ruby and Docker containers. It's like, no, dude, we need it to work. I don't want to sit here and re-engineer everything for code that was released in the past couple of years. I want to use something that's stable. Docker's cool. I like it too. But I don't want to re-engineer our entire business on something that's only been popular for a year.
They want the pretty Rolls Royce, and you just want the last fucking Deceptor.
I just
V8.
Want it to work. Yeah. I want it to be safe. So, next story up is from neowin.net. Nord Stalis is the largest known vanilla World of Warcraft private server on the internet, with over 800,000 accounts registered to play more than 10-year-old version of the popular role-playing game. So by vanilla, they mean none of the expansions, none of the updates. They picked a version of WoW from before, I think, Burning Crusade was the first expansion.
Yeah, Burning Crusade was the first.
Okay.
Burning Crusade was the first.
Yeah, they picked a version from right before Burning Crusade and said, we're running that from now on. So they were hosting the vanilla version of the game for the people who didn't want to play the current version. The server hosted a version of WoW from just before the first expansion pack and was considered a nostalgic piece of history by many, as evidenced by the name. However, on April 10th at 2300 CE plus 1... the service shut down forever due to the start of legal action by Activision Blizzard. Vanilla WoW, or version 1, is perceived by many to be the best version of the game, with much more grueling raid dungeons and far more complex skill and talent interactions than the game has today in its current incarnation. The development of the team behind Nostralis was reproducing the original game progression with the Ankh-Khaj raid set to open next month. It's like that old troll dungeon, isn't it?
Yes.
Did we run that?
Yes. Okay. It was amazing. I kind of sad that this is gone, because it's like the Evercrack that Sard found, except for WoW players.
Activision Blizzard has every right to enforce its intellectual property, and private WoW servers allow players to bypass the payment process and play the game with no subscription, and they need every subscriber they can get. Blizzard was truly losing out on revenue because of this server, but there's still something a little sad when a piece of gaming history disappears forever. There's currently a petition with 35,000 signatures on change.org showing how much support there is for this illegal service. You know, I'm not sure how illegal it is.
How is it not? It's their IP.
Lula. Huh?
How is it not? It's their IP.
Well, now here's the thing, though. I've played with some of these private WoW servers before. Most of them are reverse engineered from the client. All of the content is in the game client. It's not on the server. The server hosts a database that stores information about the characters, but you know, they reverse engineer the clients to make the server respond to it. So, I mean, it is their IP, and it certainly violates the EULA, but I don't think the software itself is actually illegal.
I purchased my client.
Well, what if it's one of those clients where you purchase the rights to use it, but you don't actually own it?
Blizzard would certainly make that argument. Yeah. I'd say it's possible that Blizzard will see the demand for a vanilla WoW service and will come to some sort of arrangement to allow Nostromus to continue operating, but that is very unlikely. So, but yeah, I mean,
I'm 50-50.
You know, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's their game, obviously. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you really get down to splitting hairs, I'm not actually certain, you know, beyond basic copyright enforcement, how Blizzard is doing this, other than just we have more lawyers than you.
Yeah.
It comes down to, do you own the games that you buy, or are you entering into a long-term rental contract?
Well, according to Blizzard, you're entering into a long-term rental contract.
I mean, at the end of the day, Blizzard have just fucked over 800,000 loyal customers.
They weren't customers.
How are they customers?
Well, exactly. They purchased it to start with.
Yes, they did.
Do you think they're going to keep playing the game now? And I bet you most of those 800,000 had genuine accounts anyway. They were paying monthly.
Yeah, they just wanted to go play the old version every once in a while. Yeah,
because it sounded like mainly it was just like nostalgia players, man. Like nostalgia grinders, because...
Well, I will tell you, I played the original... I played the shit out of the original WoW. I know Madman did too, because I got him into it. And then I lost interest in the game after some of the expansions started coming out. And I tried to start the game back up a while back and was like, what? Confused to hell. I had no idea what was what. And my characters were kind of off in La La Land, so nothing really made sense anymore. So I set the hell with it and didn't really have any interest in it after that. I know Static's played it several times, but...
Well, the mechanics of the game... The vanilla WoW, there were strategies involved in running a dungeon. You needed certain classes and with specific abilities at certain times for crowd control, for tanking. You needed to coordinate. And a lot of the later WoWs, they changed the dungeons to tank and smack. You just run in and hit buttons. There wasn't as they took a lot of the thought out of the game, at least when it comes to the PvE side. So, yeah, I can see a nostalgia for vanilla WoW when you still had to think to run a dungeon. Now, the downside to vanilla WoW is if you weren't in a top raiding guild, you didn't see a big chunk of the game. A lot of people didn't run Molten Core until they were so overpowered for it that you could treat it as a tank and spank just because they couldn't get into a guild to do it. I ran Molten Core. When it was still hard.
I remember. No, I think one of the first times I started losing interest in the game was when our guild, because we were in a big raiding guild, had me summon like 30 other players over and then kicked me out of the raid party and said, oh, sorry, we're going to go with this other guy so he can run.
Oh, yeah, that was.
You remember me being pissed about that, I'm sure, because I was mad.
Yeah, because in the original WoW, especially if you were doing Molten Core or one of the 40-man raids, it could take 30 minutes just to get everyone assembled and queued up to start clearing the trash mobs.
So, yeah, RU, I got screwed over in that game a couple of times. It's one of the reasons I lost interest in it.
Yeah, that's gotta suck, man.
Although... I did see that they are releasing the server software for free, though, so you will be able to run your own eventually.
Who's releasing the server? Blizzard?
No, whatever their name is.
Australis or...
Yeah, whatever that is. They're releasing the code. You'll be able to run your own.
If we can't have it, everyone can have it. You know?
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Well, a lot of the original WoW servers, the illegal, the pirate ones anyways, were open sourced. And I remember setting one of those up before the game actually came out, and we goofed around in there, and like you couldn't even see other players move. It was silly.
Oh, the boars that randomly fell over dead because someone else killed them. Traversing the nothing. Admiral Cuddly Snuggles in his fleet of three ships.
He was a troll.
Wow.
Yep, he was a troll. Admiral Cuddly Snuggles.
I've got to pay it just for the name. Like, I've really got to get around to making the character Flippity Flop Bunny Wunny Wonkins.
It's probably... It may be open still on some server somewhere, are you?
So, Sard, you said they're releasing the software. You have a link?
No, it was just in a story I was reading earlier. I'll see if I can find it. I think it was on Slashdot.
I'd throw one of those up for us. Run around in a little bit.
It was fun. Mind-controlling people and jumping them into the lake of lava in Black Rock Mountain.
I've never played WoW, ever.
It will eat your life, dude. It will fucking eat your life.
The only bitch of it is, like, the client's, like, a gig.
Oh, it was Ars Technica. Nostralis' servers will be shut down April 10th, but the team says it will still be publicly providing everything needed in order to set up your own Nostralis if you are willing to. So it looks like they haven't released it yet, but are planning
on to. Of
course,
you know, since these are, we'll have to keep it private, and I don't know how you want to set that up. Hamachi, is that still a thing?
It would be. It'd be hard, because for an MMO to be good,
you need a constant string
of people there to play it.
Right.
Vanilla WoW, especially Vanilla WoW, the high-end raid instances, Naxxramas, you're not going to run that unless you get 40 people that know what they're doing.
Or you tweak the settings so that everybody's way overpowered.
Yeah, your GMs on your own server. I have my own EverQuest server that I've set up privately that Spectre, Fox, and I have played on, and it's the same thing. It's fucking hard. A lot of those raids you can't do, you need the 40 people or whatever. So
Bart, you and I might need to talk after the show, because I've got some people I work with who would kill for me to show up with a Raspberry running an EverQuest server.
Oh yeah, it's out there. It's EQEMU. It's out there and freely available, dude. You could download it. It's a bitch to install. At least it was when I did it, but it's out there. It totally works. But so your GMs on your own server, dude. You can make yourself invulnerable. You can kill any mob.
That also takes a lot of the challenge. The whole point of doing the vanilla.
Yeah. But like I said, there's no other option with three people. With us, it was more about getting to places where we never got to before.
Yeah. All right. Last story I've got for tonight is from QZ.com. So. Short version of it is some German scientists have made some software that basically means you never believe anything you see in video again. A research team has created software that allows them to control the face of anyone in any video. Using advanced facial recognition, it looks at about 15 seconds of any face in a video, creates a 3D model of that face in real time. The result is incredibly realistic, and they've got a video. You have to go watch the video on QZ to get the idea of what they're doing. So they've got examples using Putin, Bush, and Trump, where it's mapping the facial movements from one of the guys on the camera to, you know, these politicians. And it's pretty crazy. They're even complaining that Putin doesn't smile enough, so they weren't able to get a video clip to make the smiling realistic. But the project is a collaboration of computer scientists at Stanford University, the Max Planck Institute, University of Erlangen-Nuremberg in Germany, and the same team produced a similar study last year, but that iteration required data from special 3D cameras. The new system works with any camera and any recorded video. The result is a weird cross between Snapchat's face swap feature and the gibberish sheen from Bruce Almighty. However, it's an effect that Hollywood studios spend millions to achieve, and it's about to get a whole lot more common because they've got this software that just does it. So, pretty much, my prediction is you're going to see, like, Comedy Central and The Daily Show picking up politicians running the software and then, you know, getting somebody who can kind of do their voice. And then it's going to be the whole Tina Fey, Sarah Palin thing in mass, where, you know, whatever they make up gets attributed to these people as though they actually said it.
It's just going to be like The Onion, then. The Onion everywhere.
Yeah. It really will be.
It's chat roulette. Most fun new toy.
Yeah, where you can just show up as, you know, Putin or whatever.
As anyone.
Boy, is on and I'm still banned.
Well, you know, that entire series of convincing people they had cancer.
That's awesome.
You know you can create a new account.
There's no point.
To get it banned again.
I don't drink as much
that
anymore.
Is good.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Let's do Dojo and wrap this up. Yo! Hadouken! So, final thing I got for tonight in Digital Dojo. It's from DanielMessler.com. He went through a Hacker News thread, or several Hacker News threads, about lesser used Unix and Linux commands, or bash commands, and they collected a few of them together. So he parsed through all of them and put together this nice summary of some lesser known bash commands, more commonly known bash commands, and, you know, usages. So if you spend any time at all in the Linux command line, this is actually a pretty cool little list. And it's got some I didn't know about in there too. So, and I use the Linux command line a lot. Oh, yeah, I'm nice. Sorry, the GNU Linux bash. How many more names do you have to put on it? Who made bash?
At least six.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're at least 128 characters short.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're just cool, gonna man. Say bash. So
I'll have to
I use that
check
a lot.
That out.
So yeah, I actually got done taking my old Nexus 7 tablet, putting Kali NetHunter on it, setting up an entire Chroot environment that I can remote into from my work laptop so that I can do a bunch of testing without having to use my my regular laptop.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Lots of Linux command line. So, or bash command line, because Linux command, the Linux kernel commands line's pretty, you know damn well what I mean.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
That's all I got. Anybody have anything?
The screenshot for the WoW could have been Ragnaros.